If you have a Bible with you, turn with me to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. That one, 1 and verse 4 to verse 8. And if you could all rise, read this one verse. And after I read this one verse, I just put the word of the Lord all together. Acts chapter 1. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. I had the privilege to invite my brother, person that you know more. I've come again for you the longer than support him as one of our missionaries. Brother Gerald, give him a praise the Lord with you this morning. Yeah, worship with you, beautiful. Now, Brother Nancy Young did not mention that he did beat me one time when he played ping pong. So we were kind of even. So we're going to have to play again to see him. But, I have a very good African friend. His wife has done a lot of going. We are missionaries, as you know, in Tanzania. We have our tickets to go back September 5th. We're getting on the plane, making our way back to Tanzania. Lord willing, for 2 years. And we would appreciate your remembering us, praying for us. Every time I go back, I say, Lord, help us to be faithful. And the title of my message today is Unto Your Mission. Unto Your Mission. You know, too often we think the missionaries that go out there that they have the calling, they need to be faithful to the mission that they have been given by the Lord. But we need to remember as God's people, all of us, we've been given the mission. We are missionaries. Amen. And that's what we read here by the word this morning. In the very beginning, the first disciples of the Lord, the apostles, the followers of Jesus, they were told to carry in Jerusalem to wait for the Holy Spirit to come. And then he will be my witness. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the end of the earth. Thank the Lord, the Holy Spirit has come. As we believe in Jesus, each one of us, we receive the Holy Spirit. Our hearts have been transformed. We've made new creatures in Christ Jesus. And we have been made witnesses. We're to be witnesses unto the Lord Jesus. Amen. And so this morning, I want to give three reasons why we need to be true to our mission. Three reasons why. And the first one is simply there's a need for it. There's a need. One of the places where we live, was the Sabbath. And, okay, so you fly to Nairobi and meet Kenya. We were in Kenya for 10 years. Okay, imagine flying into Nairobi, which is a long flight. Then get on the road, take a day's trip to Isiolo. You have to spend the night. Early in the morning, you will join a convoy going to Masabit. Day's journey to get to Masabit. To get to Masabit, the northern part of Kenya. Again, you have to spend the night. We join the convoy the next morning going to Moyale, which is on the border with Ethiopia. You're passing through very difficult terrain, dangerous at times, with bandits, so that's why you have to be in the convoy. And so we were in Masabit. We had an outreach in Moyale. We had a church there right on the border with Ethiopia. So the first time that I went there, I met a missionary. His name was Tim Felton. And he shared with me, you know, his testimony. So back in the 60s, late 60s, I suppose, the hippie, just traveling the world, and somehow he got to this place, Moyale. How he ever got there, I don't know. But anyway, while he was there, he became sick, and thankfully, there were some Anglican missionaries, a doctor, and they ministered to him, nursed him back to health, shared the gospel with him. He got saved. He came back home, and he went to Columbia Bible College, South Carolina. He joined Inland Mission, and where did they send him? They sent him back to Moyale, the very place that he got saved. But he said this to me. He said, if you would have said John 3:16 to me at that time that he was up in Kenya, he never had read the Bible. He had never gone to church. He had never been witnessed to by a Christian. And it wasn't until he got there to Moyale, was very, very sick, that he met some believers who shared the gospel with him. And how many people are there like him in America? So there's a need in our country for us to be faithful, to be witnesses. Amen. Another thing we need to realize what happens in America. I just read these words yesterday from Psalm 11:3. It says, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? I tell you, I'm just so grieved that things that are taking place. I can't say that our founding fathers were born-again Christians, all of them, but there was a reverence for God, a reverence for the Lord, to establish our country and God's people. So moving away from it. If the foundations are destroyed, what can they do? One thing we need to do is to pray. Another thing we need to do is that we have opportunity, that is to share the Lord with those that are in a way that leading to death. So imagine also the nations that are coming to our own nation. How many people do we have from China right here in Rochester and from other nations as well? So the opportunity where God is bringing us. So we need to really consider how the world, our own nation, and that is one of the reasons why we need to be true to the mission that the Lord has given us. Secondly, is we need to be true to this mission because it is a part of the lifestyle, our lifestyle. Now, consider the things that we consider to be a part of our lifestyle. Of course, coming to church too. That is a part of the lifestyle of the week. I trust waking up in the morning, having morning devotion. Again, so vital, so important. And day by day, we take time to the Lord in His Word and in His presence. And, I think we're moving out of Carol Sound this week. So, it's 9:59. That's the call for my wife. Every time we come on a solo, that's been our base, that we're moving out. And, but if you would have come when her parents were there, I mean, a day does not end without gathering the family together at time of reading the Word. So it was part of the lifestyle, and it should be ours as well. It's a family and an individual. Having times of devotion. Well, likewise, to be a witness unto Jesus, that needs to be a part of our lifestyle. And three things I want to mention to that include, or really focus on in having this as our lifestyle. Number one is, as we all know, living the Christian life. Living the Christian life, letting people see who we are, and especially when people know that you are a Christian, their eyes are now upon you. In the workplace, the community, in the family, okay? Once you name the name of Christ, you say, people are watching, just like those who are watching Daniel. Back in the time when he was one of the leaders in the government, once they knew he was a committed Jew and follower of the Most High God, they were watching him, looking for some way that they could accuse him. And so it is for all of us. People are looking. We have to be sure that we are living a life that commends the Lord Jesus. Amen. I think of those words where Peter was speaking to wives. You know, it's very interesting. He's talking to wives in 1 Peter, and he's saying, in the same way you wives be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their husband. And it's not just to wives. To all of us, that the testimony of God be my spirit filled by that it speaks. That speaks volume to those around us, though we may not even know it yet. And where we live in Tanzania now, Goma, you fly into Dar es Salaam. Once you get to Dar es Salaam, and sit on a domestic flight to go to the end of the country, which is Kigoma, the last stop, okay? And Kigoma is right on Lake Tanganyika. Lake Tanganyika, that area was one of the places where David Livingstone stayed. So if you come to visit us, we will take you to the spot. We've heard of Henry Stanley. He was sent, he was a newspaper reporter, he was sent to find David Livingstone. And when he found him, imagine everyone is African, right? When he found David Livingstone, the only white man there. And so when he found him, he said, David Livingstone, I presume? Well, but that was the place where they met, right there, Goma. So whenever people come, we take them to that spot where David Livingstone Stanley met. Well, this is what Henry Stanley said. He said, for 4 months and 4 days, I lived with him in the same hut or the same boat with the same tent, and I never found a fault in him. I went to Africa as prejudiced against religion as the worst infidel in London. To a reporter like myself, who had only to deal with wars, staff meetings, and political gatherings, sentimental matters were quite out of my province. But there came to me a long time for reflection. I was out there away from a worldly world. I saw this solitary old man there, and I asked myself, why did he stop here? For months after we met, I was wondering at the old man, hearing out the word to leave all and follow me. Now here's the thing. But little by little, seeing his piety, his gentleness, his zeal, his earnestness, and how he went quietly about his business, I was converted by him, although he had not tried. That's always has been very special to me, that testimony that Henry Stanley saw in Dr. Livingston. And this piety, living the Christian life with the testimony of Jesus. So, by our life, we are to let our life change. And especially if our nation, the world, becomes darker, darker, spiritual, we need to let the light shine. Secondly, by your lips. Brothers and sisters, we have to open our lips to speak for the Lord. We can be faithful in coming to church, we can be faithful in our times of prayer, our faithfulness in giving our tithes, these things are the important part of it. But also speaking to the Lord is part of being faithful. Henry, Andrew Murray said these words, "When I do not offer up my lips to speak for the Lord, I am serving him with only a partial dedication." So we need to ask ourselves, you know, are we serving the Lord with a partial dedication but never speaking for him? Or are we serving him faithfully in every area that the Lord has taught us? Again, we're told to be witnesses unto people. That's not just for the early apostles and disciples. That is, again, for the church, throughout the ages, the generation, we have this privilege and obligation to be witnesses to the Lord. And yes, we need to live the godly life. That is so important. That, I mean, if we're not living godly life, okay, let us not even tell people that we're Christian. But we are, I trust, seeking to follow the Lord and to live the kind of the life that we want to see, but that includes as well ready to be. And then another way of being a witness to the Lord is by using literature. When I was in the Air Force, unsaved, you know, and I needed the Lord in my life. And one day, someone handed me a gospel tract. Now, I can't say that God uses tracts in everyone's life to bring them to salvation, but he did in my life. Someone handed me a gospel tract. I was going to do some jogging. As I finished my exercise, I sat down underneath the tree and read that tract. I prayed the sinner's prayer. I can remember getting up from that spot and back to barracks. I had some marijuana and other mild drugs, and I discarded it. I never touched it. I mean, it was a transformation gene. And it began with a gospel tract. Recently, I had an exact date, and I want to challenge you. This is a track, my own track that I have made. My name appears on the front. And it begins by saying, every person who has been found by the Good Shepherd has a story to tell. In short, now, if you're here today, you're a believer, you're a Christian, you've been found by the Good Shepherd, amen? And that means you have a story. And I want to challenge somebody here. Write your own story. Amen? If you found Jesus, you changed your life, you're so grateful, if you want to share what the Lord has done, write your own story. So I wrote first sharing about what the Lord did for me, then finally I shared about how he can do the same thing for you. So I have the gospel message in here, not just my own. I would challenge some of you, do the same thing and seek to use that. Charles Spurgeon said something like, when you go out, do not go out without the traps, because you never may know how God may use the seed. And so, okay, even if you don't want to write your own tracts, there are so many good tracts that you can order online. You can step with God. Very famous. I would encourage you to use that in the way that you can share the word. Not many of us are Billy Graham, okay? Having that kind of a ministry, but being a witness, that is something that the Lord did have each one of us to be. And one way is to just go about our business. We're meeting people all the time. UPS people coming to the door, Amazon people, you're going to a restaurant to eat. And it's not just a matter of leaving the tract on the table. You go to the waitress that serves you and say, look, just ate out the other night and I couldn't find. Said, look, the Lord did something in my life years ago. I want to share with you, about the Lord. I try to make it personal, say make it personal. We have in our neighborhood where we've been living, there's been some Christians, I don't know who they are, but they've been going through the neighborhood, passing out literature, kind of like throwing it in the driveway of the people. I'm thinking, how good is that? Or it's not effective. You need to place it in the hands of people. Say a word about what the Lord has done for you and how important it is for them. You know, you can make a commitment. Amen. And so, by our lives, by speaking words, by using literature, these are very important ways that we can be true to our mission. And finally, it is a way of knowing. It is a way. You know, the Lord spoke in John chapter 7. The Lord spoke about, again, the Holy Spirit. And these words. Jesus stood on that last day, great day of the feast, and he cried out, saying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture says, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believe in him were to. Okay? day of Pentecost, they received the Holy Spirit. The day we receive Jesus as our Savior, we receive the Holy Spirit. And so He is in us. And the Lord says, from our innermost being will flow rivers of living water. So if you know anything about a stream, you can't just have to let that go. You don't want to dam it up. Let it flow. Fresh. Vibrant. So likewise, the Holy Spirit, we just have to allow Him to use our heart, to flow through it. And one of the special things that the Holy Spirit wants to do, that is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And every time that we speak for the Lord, we seek to be a witness for Him. I mean, the Holy Spirit, I can just say, He is happy. You know, we can grieve the Holy Spirit. That is when we stay quiet, find the word. We know that we speak a word to the Lord. We stay quiet. We're grieving the Spirit. We're able to flow through us. So we want to allow the Holy Spirit to flow, to glorify the Spirit. And as we do so, you know, that is part of us. You know, at times I feel in my own life that I'm not doing enough to speak to the Lord. I just feel like something is not right. That vitality, blessing, the Holy Spirit is not there. Yet as I step out, I begin to share the Lord Jesus, the sense of blessing. As we refresh others, we ourselves will be refreshed. So, again, Spurgeon is one of my favorite teachers. He said these words: "Soul winning keeps the heart vibrant. It is a mighty pressure to retain love." Amen. Soul winning keeps the heart lively. It is a mighty pressure to retain love. So whenever you sense that your love for the Lord is going to become lukewarm, not the love of God, but the love of God, number one, the love. Whenever you sense that love is not retaining within you, get out there. Here are people. That's going to really help us refresh us. And then finally, it's a way of growing spiritually, it's a way of growing corporately. When you look at the early church, the Lord, I mean, there was a time of revival. You know that. It was an extraordinary time. But two things we see happening. One of the first prayer meetings we see after the day of Pentecost, in chapter 4 of Acts, the apostles came back from being threatened by the Sadducees, the Pharisees, back to hear everything that happened, and everyone lifted up their voice. Verse 24, and when they heard this, they lifted their voices to God with one accord. And two things they asked for. And one of them, we see in verse 29, it says, "And now, Lord, take note of their threat, and grant that your bondservant may speak your word with all confidence." We're told in verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak the word of God. You know, our country, we're moving to a place that becoming an anti-Christian. And if there's a time that we really need to get the Lord, his help, his grace. filling of the Holy Spirit, your boldness, speak out. That time is coming. We need to be prepared. Amen. The early church and the church throughout the week, I believe, they've been faced with the same situation. The world has not changed. The world does not want Christ to hear the gospel, but as the church has been faithful throughout the generation of proclaiming the gospel, the Lord has confirmed His word, blessed His word, and placed His word. The church was dying. It grew. It grew. Talk about the revivals that took place in the 18th century. I mean, it describes the condition of the church at those times. It was pathetic. And yet, after these revivals with George Whitfield and John Wesley, I mean, the church was growing. And this is what we see in the book of Acts, in chapter 5, verse 14, and all the more believers in the Lord, multitudes of men and women, were added to their number. And so, in Revelation, we read, the Spirit the bride say, it's the work of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. He's the one that has to do it. But He's going to do it together with His people. They should thank Him. And as we do so, He's going to bring them, add them to the church. He's going to add them to every local church that we are faithful to the mission that the Lord has given. And so, again, we're called to be witnesses, Utah, Judea, Samaria, to the end. So, the world in every place there is a need. Bring that need before the Lord in prayer, in praying, the Lord's blessing upon His word, the Lord, His blessing upon His people, that we would be the kind of a people, holy people, spirit-filled people, filled with the love of Christ, ready to share that, to speak of that, to do everything that we can. Many of us, we're not, not even very hard for us. Even myself, I don't consider myself then. But one thing, what I do in Tanzania, for example, I have tracts printed all the time. The last time I was there in June, I had 3,000 tracts printed. And there's times I go out with, maybe sometimes I just go out with 15 tracts, sometimes 30 tracks, sometimes 100 tracks, depending how much grace I have or faith I have that particular day. But I go out, and I'm just doing the best that I can to get His word, to plant the seed. That's something all of us that we're able to challenge you again. Write your own story. What has Christ done in your life? What He's done for you? Have your name on it so people can say, this is what who I am and this is what Christ has done. Or there's so many other good facts. You sow the seed. Never know, you know what God will bless, what people need. And we will see that it's going to cause us to go spiritually, that we're going to be blessed and transformed. Spirit of the Lord, and the Lord is going to smile upon us. So we can be so pleased that we're taking a step out, claiming His name, not being ashamed of Him. That day, that is what we want. So let us not be ashamed of the gospel of God, because it is the power of God, salvation of everything. So that's my challenge to you today, my brothers and sisters. My challenge to my own heart again and again. You know, I need to be challenged to be faithful to the calling that I have as a believer, a servant of Jesus Christ. And each one of us, we need to realize that we belong to Him. He has made us to be with Him. Let us seek to be that kind of a witness that will bring glory to the Lord, that will bring people to Himself. And let me just close with this last quote. I just read this yesterday on the internet, again, by Charles Spurgeon. I loved it so much. He said these words. He said, "To be a soul winner is the happiest thing in this world. And with every soul you bring to Jesus Christ, you seem to get a new heaven here upon earth." Let us pray. Father in heaven, I pray for my brothers and my sisters. Lord, I pray that you would help each one of them, myself included, that we would be faithful to the mission that you have given to us. Lord, to be a witness to you, to speak of you, to do all that we can to bring others to you. May you bless your word as it goes forth throughout the world, even this day, Lord. May it not return to you void. And even in this place, may you fill this house. In the name of Jesus, to your honor and glory, we pray.